Schools train people to be ignorant with style. They give you the equipment you need to be a functional ignoramus. Schools do not equip you to deal with things like logic. They don't give you the criteria by which to judge between good and bad in any medium or format, and they prepare you to be a usable victim for a military-industrial complex that needs manpower. As long as you are just smart enough to do a job and just dumb enough to swallow what they feed you, you're going to be all right. But if you go beyond that, you're going to have these grave doubts that give you stomach problems, headaches, and make you want to go out and do something else. So I believe that schools mechanically and very specifically try and breed out any hint of creative thought in the kids that are coming up. And that quote comes from Frank Zappa. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Great quote from Uncle Frank there, folks, and there's no doubt that education certainly does train people to be stupid. Otherwise, it's very doubtful that we would be in the state we are in the world today. And it isn't that people are consciously stupid, it isn't that people go out of their way to be stupid, it's just that people are given very, very specific parameters within which to function, and these parameters are very, very confining and very restricting as far as creative thought goes. And this is all very much done by design, folks. It helps people swallow what the media feeds them. It helps people deal with life after school. As Frank said, as long as you're smart enough to do a job and dumb enough to swallow what they feed you, you're going to be okay. But for people who go outside of that, then things are going to be very difficult for them. That's why you find many of the people who are awake to the global situation and are awake to the slavery system, many of the more intelligent people, find it very, very difficult to function in life because they can see the mess that they're swimming in. And once you can see the control grid for what it is, it becomes very, very difficult to participate in this society because you see the damage that you're doing simply by going along with its rules. And it's so easy to get sucked into the confrontations of this society. That's what this society is all about, folks. It's about creating confrontation with people, all sorts of confrontations, political confrontations, social confrontations, ethnic confrontations, financial confrontations, all sorts of confrontations, because this is what perpetuates the division that they need for this system to function. And it's so easy to get sucked into these things, folks. I do too. I mean, I get sucked into it. I know all these things, and I still get sucked into it. The predator mind is always there, just lurking, waiting to make you angry about someone's comments. And all you need to do is be in a state where you have some sort of emotional stress on your plate. Like, I've had an enormous amount of emotional stress on my plate this year. I've had difficulties with accommodation early in the year. I've had financial difficulties. I've had my father falling and breaking three ribs and puncturing a lung at 89. I've had disinformation campaigns and personal attacks directed against me from people online who seek to promote division. I've had the treachery of people who I believed to be close friends. And all of these things have affected me very deeply and have caused me to lash out at people on chat threads and things. So it's very hard to be immune to this stuff, folks. It's very hard to be immune to this predator mind that is in there. And it's very difficult to insulate yourself from the machinations of this society, the machinations that are there to create this conflict and confrontation. Because that's what society wants, folks, because the more conflict and confrontation they create, then the more we need a nanny state to look after us, the more we need government, the more we need police, the more we need rules and regulations to protect us. And that's why our social systems have been constructed to be such a divisive mechanism. And this is, of course, done because the one thing that is going to free society from the machine that controls us is global unity, or at least social unity, unity of community. Putting common unity back into community. You see, the one thing that they dread more than all other things is a united community, because should the community unite, then it's game over for the ruling hand. And that's why all of these divisive mechanisms are put in place. That's why people are trained to attack other people. That's why there's all of these mechanisms that have been thrown into the alternate research community, the alternate media now, to divide the alternate media. You've got most of the alternate media actually attacking the rest of the alternate media. Nobody seems to get along. It's all about their way or the highway. And this is all done by design, folks, because it doesn't matter who is telling you what the problems are. If you are still living within a divided community, then there's going to be no remedy for any of the problems. We've all gone down the Freeman rabbit hole, and we've looked for ways through the system by using its own legal mechanisms, and we're seeing what's happening to people that are doing this. Whether it's lawful for them to do what they're doing and whether they're right or not, it's irrelevant because the system is corrupt. The system doesn't care whether you're right. The system doesn't care whether you've found your way through the paperwork. Even if you have and you start declaring your freedom and standing up for your rights, the judge will simply send you off for a psychiatric evaluation anyway, because that's the legislation that they're using. That's what they're using here in Australia. And this is, of course, the way it will be in most countries soon. They'll just bring this into the rest of the world. We'll see how it works here in Australia first, but then they'll bring it in and try it in other countries as well. You see, that's what they do, folks. They just use one country as a testing ground for certain pieces of legislation, and they try it all around the world. They'll bring it in a different way, and they'll see what works in what country, and then once they've got that working there, then they will extrapolate it out across the rest of the globe. And this happens in all Western countries, folks, because all the governments are linked together through the banking cartels that run all of these countries. Any country that has a central bank is essentially governed by the same forces, folks. So it's all very well to have the legal knowledge and the legal equipment you need to find your way through the paperwork, but if the judge is simply going to say, look, I disagree with you and I think you're nuts, and so I'm going to have you psychiatrically evaluated, and you're going to end up in a psychiatric ward being drugged for a few days or a couple of weeks just so the judge can get a report on you, then it's not really going to help you, is it? So you can see that the only way we're really going to find a way through this, folks, is by having united communities. I mean, if you've got information about how the legal system works, rather than going and trying to stand up against the system, what you're best off doing is disseminating the information through your community so that other people begin to see how corrupt this legal system is. And they begin to see the power that we have to change it. But this power will only come from individuals who are prepared to stand up in a united manner. That's the thing, folks. We need the whole community to stand up and say, hey, enough is enough. I mean, that's the only way we're going to address things such as coal seam gas mining, which is going on in this country. This country's really, really gone to hell, folks, because we've got the police now. I mean, the police are just supporting these mining companies. They're just basically hired security for mining companies now in Australia. When you go into the country, that's what most of the police do. They just support the logging companies. They support the mining companies. They support the corporate rape of the country. They're hired as security guards by the company. They literally hire police as security, which is a complete conflict of interests, bearing in mind that these companies are destroying the environment in this country, and they're doing so under the security of the police. So how do you deal with this problem? Well, you're only going to deal with it by having a united community, by the people realizing that this is not what we employ government and police to do. And if they're doing this sort of stuff and they're getting away with it and they're claiming it to be law, well, why are they doing it? Well, it's because it's a corporate system, folks. There's your evidence right there. You've got these foreign corporations literally raping this country. They're doing so because of legislation this government has put in place, and they're being protected by the police in doing so. And the ones that are ultimately going to suffer in the end are the people of the country, because this country is going to be destroyed. We've got Tony Abbott, who's confirmed that they're going to cut a huge channel through the Great Barrier Reef in order to create the biggest gas hub in the world. They're fracking the country and destroying the water table, creating massive pipelines to ship all the gas directly overseas. And they're claiming they're doing it for economic benefit for this country. But all the proceeds are going overseas. The only economic benefit is for the people who are now currently working constructing these ports and these pipelines. But once the wells are in place and the pipelines are done and the ports are constructed, then all of these people will be out of work, and all the groundwater in Australia will be polluted, so there'll be nobody able to live in the country anymore. We're all going to have to move into major population centres, which is, of course, what the government wants in accordance with Agenda 21. And so this is what's happening, folks. Coal seam gas is quite literally the biggest threat the people of Australia have ever faced. And it isn't improving the economy, folks. It's lining the pockets of those politicians who are corrupt enough to support this corporate rape of the country. And they're getting away with it because the people just don't understand what's going on. They think the government is actually there to support them and is acting in their best interests, when in fact the government is doing exactly the opposite. The government is simply supporting the corporate rape of the country. And there's really nothing that should make this more clear to the Australian people than the approval Tony Abbott has just given to build this massive gas hub and cut his shipping route directly through the middle of the world's largest living organism, namely the Great Barrier Reef. This is absolutely ridiculous, folks. Of course, it isn't just the Liberal government that's doing it. I mean, this has been put in place through successive governments. People have got to get over this illusion that there's a difference between Liberal and Labor. There's only slight differences in policy, but ultimately they're both part of the same corporate entity, and both of them work for the same people. It's just a different managerial staff for the corporation, folks. That's all we do when we have elections and we replace one party with another. We just put a different managerial staff in place to run the corporate system for a while, and they do so in a slightly different manner. But ultimately, it's still the same corporate system. Forget about government existing in any form that people actually think it does, and forget about government existing in a form that actually serves the people. It's not there to serve the people. It's there to serve the banksters and serve the corporate masters that run the government, and that is certainly not the people. If it was run for the people, then I would suggest that none of our countries would be in the state that they're in today. It's just a matter of people adjusting their perspective of these things and really looking and seeing how it's run. I mean, all you've got to do is look at your society, folks. Look at the state of hardship that you're in. Look at the rules and regulations that have been put in place in every manner, right across the board. There's millions upon millions of laws. I think there's over 22 million laws in Australia. They say that if one was to actually sit down and read all the laws in Australia, it would take 100 years of continuous reading. And yet the government and the court system will still claim that ignorance of the law is no excuse in regard to legal matters. When, of course, I doubt that there is one person in existence who actually knows the full rundown of Australian law. And, folks, the more law, the more crime. The more law, the more tyranny. The more laws that are in place, the more corrupt and repressive the government. And to have a country that has virtually more laws than population just shows how corrupt and how criminal and how out of control the Australian government actually is. And it's the same in most Western countries, folks. I just use this one as an example because this is where I live. Now, I've been receiving a lot of messages from people who have been asking me, look, Max, do you really think the world is waking up? Do you really see people awakening around you? And I think the answer to that is yes, folks, I really do. As I said, the more negative they make it, then the more people do wake up. But of course, we are seeing a huge escalation of the control grid at the same time. And this, I believe, is being done as a defensive maneuver more than anything else, because the powers that believe they be know full well that many, many people are waking up. I mean, I went into a bakery the other day and the people behind the counter in the bakery were discussing with a woman who was buying a loaf of bread about the current political situation and the repressive laws that the council are bringing in and the amount of police they're seeing everywhere. And these were normal, middle-class, everyday people living on the Gold Coast in Australia who are talking about the global police state that's being built in the local bread shop. And so that's a good sign. I mean, these are people that you wouldn't normally hear talking about these sorts of things. And I think that if we really start disseminating information in our communities now, then we can all really begin to make a difference. I'm going to be starting meetings here where I live or somewhere close by, which will probably be late November or early December. I will start having weekly meetings again. I don't think there's much point in starting them before I get back from the Peru trip, because I can see no point in starting weekly meetings, running them for a month, and then taking a month off while I go and make a film. And what the film in Peru is about, folks, and the reason I'm doing it in Peru is because Peru has a certain mystique that everybody can identify with, and it is also the birth of the Amazon rainforest, or one of the places of its birth anyway. And it's very important that we pay attention to what's going on there. And what I want to do with this film is I wanted to use it to launch the Full Circle Project. And the Full Circle Project will be something that does all of the things I just mentioned. We've got to find a way of disseminating information in communities across this planet and uniting these communities to stand up to make a difference. And I believe with the right workshops and the right template that gets put in place in different communities around the planet, we may well achieve this. And what I hope to create with the Full Circle Project is, as I said, a template so that you can do this in your local community. And I don't even have to go there to help you do it. You can simply start a series of workshops and community events within your local community and just get involved yourself. And it's better this way, folks. It's better if there isn't any person traveling around and showing you how to do it, because we don't want any leaders in this movement. We don't want any figurehead that can be pulled down. It's not about leaders. It's not about following anybody's example. It's about leading yourself and your community leading itself by empowering its individual members. That's what I want the Full Circle Project to do. And that's what this whole Peru trip is all about. And that's why I've spent every cent that I have at the moment in order to make this happen. I've literally been scrimping and saving for this film for the last 12 months, and it's quite exciting that I'm actually going to go and make it happen now. And I hope to have the film finished and available for people by perhaps mid-January to mid-February. That's what I'm aiming for, is very, very early in the year. Because I want 2014 to be the year where we come full circle, folks, where we come back to where we should be, or at least have begun to take a very big step in that direction. And this is only going to happen if individual communities wish to get involved in a movement which is essentially not a movement. It is simply an idea whose time has come. And that's what I want this to be. So if you have any input towards this project, or you would like to be involved in this project, or you wish to contribute to help the project happen, or you have a strong network in your local community, or you're interested in building a strong network in your local community, then I urge you to contact me and to get involved in this project. Because we really do need the participation of the people, folks. It can only happen if people get involved. Any change that we want in the world, any stand that's going to be made effectively against this system, any stand that's going to be made to empower the community again and wrest control of this world out of the hands of the psychopaths who currently run things, is going to take the involvement of the people. There is no movement that's going to come and save you. There are no forms to fill out. There is no political party you can vote in to bring about change. You have to be prepared to get involved yourself. And as I've often said, folks, the way to do that is to really know who and what you are, because that's what the Full Circle Project is about. It's about empowering the individual back into their rightful place in the social structure, their rightful place on this planet, which is that of the controllers of government, if we need government at all. Honestly, I'd like to take us to a point where we don't need government. I mean, of course, this would take some doing at the moment, because most of society simply don't know how to look after themselves, and so many people actually do need government to look after them. But hopefully, through the empowerment of individuals within the community over a very short period of time, hopefully we will get to a point where we realize that we just don't need government. Because we don't, folks. It's a myth. It's a fiction. We don't need a nanny state to look after us at all. All we need to do is to remember who we are. And I believe this can only be done through a series of educational programs or workshops which will reorient people back into a position of self-empowerment. And that's what we need, because everything about this system is designed to take that away from you, folks. And this is how we're going to find out about all the mysteries and all the things that we wonder about as well. 9/11, for example. Recently, I've had someone been sending me hate mail because there's a link on my website to another website, which is a website that talks about 9/11, which I know for a fact hasn't been updated for 5 years, and the other website doesn't actually mention Judy Wood's theory of how the Twin Towers were brought down, and someone is now sending me hate mail saying that I'm obviously devoted to the suppression of free energy. Think about that, folks. I'm devoted to the suppression of free energy because there's a link on my links page which goes to a website which hasn't been updated for 5 years, well before Judy Wood's book was even published, which doesn't mention Judy Wood's theory of exotic weapons. Now, there's some brilliantly deductive reasoning for you. And Judy Wood's theory of exotic weapons is quite an interesting theory, folks. I grant you, it definitely has a lot of interest for me. I have her book, and I think that there is a lot of credibility to the concept. But there's also things like thermite. There's also things like a Russian man has recently come out and said that he knows for a fact that the Twin Towers had explosives built into them when they were built as part of the demolition plan for the building, which had to be submitted when the building was built. I mean, all of these things are possible, folks, and the point is that we will never know. We can argue about how 9/11 was done for the next 50 years, and we will still never know. And while we're arguing, a police state is being built around us. And were we to stop arguing about the finer details of things such as 9/11, I mean, all we really need to know about 9/11 at the moment is the fact that they did it and Arabs did not. That's really all we need to know. The finer details we will never, ever know until we expose and bring down this control grid which is being built. And once we do that, then how 9/11 was done will become apparent by default. But we're never going to find out by arguing about it. We're only going to find out by addressing the actual problem itself, which is this government corruption, which exists because of the disempowerment of the communities throughout this society. So that's where the focus has to be. You've got to focus on empowering the community, because it is only an empowered community which is going to have the power to deal with any of these problems. There's no point arguing about how 9/11 was done and who the people behind it actually were, folks, because we'll never know. We can have theories, we can point our finger at the obvious players, the CIA, the NSA, Mossad, all of these sorts of people, but we'll never know. We can argue till the cows come home and we will never know. Not until we bring this system under control. Then we will know. And as I said, that will only happen once the individuals in the community are empowered enough to respect themselves and respect each other and are willing to stand together. And so that's where the focus needs to be. And this is what I hope to do with the Full Circle Project, folks, at least start moving humankind in this direction, at least start moving towards a direction where people become free again, people become free to experience themselves and free to do what they want to do, free to be inventive, be creative, to have new ideas, to introduce new ideas, to have the freedom to live the art of their life and express themselves as fully as their potential will allow. Because that's what we need, folks. We don't need a homogenized society run by psychopaths intent on strip mining this earth and locking all the human beings within it into a control grid. Because that's what we've got. And they're attempting to turn the whole world into slaves, folks. Here in Australia, we've got this incredibly fat, incredibly hideous sociopath by the name of Gina Rinehart, one of the largest mining magnates in the world, probably one of the largest women in the world as well, one of the richest people on the planet, worth billions and billions of dollars through the corporate rape of the environment and the corporate rape and the destruction of life and the destruction of lifestyle of the people. Absolute sociopath. This woman is asking for new legislation in the Northern Territory so that they can employ cheap labour from China to work in Australia. And she says that if the Australian people want to get anywhere, they should work harder and drink less. This is Gina Rinehart, folks, this fat corporate whore who has made literally billions out of the rape and destruction of the environment and the impoverishment of the Australian people, says that we should work harder. And of course, folks, she is perfectly within her rights to say that. She's perfectly within her rights to employ slave labour. She's perfectly within her rights to do all the things that she wants to do. That's her choice. She's free to do that. But is it our choice to allow her to do that? Is it our choice to put up with this situation? Because that is the attitude of these people. And this is what we're facing, folks. These are the type of people who are in control. And of course, for all of Gina's corporate rape, she has the full support of the government and the full support of the terrorist organisation known as the Australian Police Force, which act as her security guards and help her continue the destructive sway that she is cutting across the universe. So how do we deal with that, folks? We only deal with it through a united community. We only deal with it by people rediscovering themselves. And that's what all of these shows have been about, folks. And I admit, look, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. There's things that I may have said which may have been wrong. There's things I may have supported which may have been wrong. There's mistakes that we all make, folks, but all I can do is the best I can do. All I can do is attempt to empower you out there listening to see the world through clearer eyes. And that's what I have attempted to do with this radio show. But again, folks, I've said it to you many times, and I really want to reiterate the point that I'm not your leader. There are no leaders in this movement. There can be no leaders in this movement. And if you are looking for a leader, you are not yet awake, because you are the only one who can lead yourself. And anybody who is attempting to lead you, anybody who is attempting to say that their version of reality is the only one that is valid, then I would run a mile from that person. And I would look within your own heart and find the power of yourself, because that is where the ultimate truth lies, folks. That is the only truth you will ever know, is the truth of yourself. And no one can help you find that but yourself. And so you shouldn't see me as your leader. You shouldn't put me on a pedestal and think that I'm this amazing person, because I have as many faults as everybody else. As I said earlier in the show, I snap at people on chat threads. I know all this stuff. I can live my life in that way, but there's something about the computer. You do it online, you start chatting with people online, and you don't really experience the emotion behind the words. You just experience the words, and sometimes the words can be brutal. They might be being said in a kind way. Often some of the conversations I've had, I've actually been thinking them in quite a calm, rational way, but I may have written words which sounded quite angry. Hopefully people, when they read the words, they put my voice to the words and they heard that I was just talking normally. But this is what the internet does, folks. It sucks you into all these things. But what I'm trying to say here is that don't see me as being a perfect person, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm not. I'm just Max. I'm just an everyday guy. And the point of these shows is that you don't have to be an exceptional person. You don't have to be somebody, in inverted commas. All you have to be is somebody who is prepared to speak. And that's what I do. Do I always get it right? Well, I don't know, folks, but at least I'm always myself, and at least I'm open to suggestion. And I do sincerely hope that these shows do help those who listen. But I think we're at break time here, folks, so I better leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I will speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So, folks, even though people are aware of the global situation, it's very important that people participate in doing something to change the global situation. That's something that I think many people are missing. And all of the rabbit holes that we go down in an attempt to find people to point the finger at, it's like I said about 9/11 previously, where no matter how far you dig and delve, you're not really ever going to find 100% proof to back up any claim or any postulation or any theory of what might actually be going on. The only way we're ever going to find out, the only way we're ever going to answer any of these myriad of mysteries, is to rediscover the power that we have to each individually work to rein this system in. And this is essentially what I've been attempting to share with you since the very beginning. I mean, rabbit holes are rabbit holes, and I believe many of them are put there specifically to lead you down these blind alleys and keep you distracted while there's all of this other stuff going on that you're not paying attention to. That's why the whole conspiracy theorist culture has grown up around the actual global conspiracy that does exist. Because there really has been this huge global conspiracy theory culture created, folks, whereby everybody's investigating everything and everybody's pointing the finger at everybody else and everybody thinks that everybody's actors and all of this rubbish that's going on. And it's all designed to distract you and to lead you down rabbit holes so that while you're busy, the global police state can be built around you. And I think that it's extremely important that people pay attention to this. I mean, this is what I often refer to as the spy novel mentality that people get into when they start investigating the global situation. When they first find out that the government is corrupt and that things may not be the way they thought they were, they get very, very caught up in the whole mystery novel aspect of this situation. They want to know who done it. They want to know who to point the finger at. They want to know what the next move of the elite is. And it's almost like watching a television soap opera for many people. And many of them are investigating things which we will never find an answer to until we are able to establish some form of transparency in the workings of this system, in the mechanism, you know, some sort of transparency in government. So again, it always comes back to addressing the problem of government criminality, government corruption. That is always the number one problem that we need to address. And again, folks, it can only be addressed by us discovering ourselves, because it is only a united community that can address the problem. And I know I beat this drum to death, but I don't know what it will take for people to see this, because this really is the only answer that we have. You know, investigating rabbit holes that we're never going to find the answer to, rather than taking steps which will unveil the answer for us, I believe is counterproductive. Because if we do address the government situation, if we do rediscover our power enough to address the government situation, then as I said, all of the mysteries that we're searching and all the rabbit holes we're going down, all of this stuff will be made clear. We'll find out the answers to all of these things. The thing is, we've got to be addressing the root of the problem rather than hacking blindly at the leaves, thinking we're going to make a difference, because we're not. And in fact, this is why there are so many leaves and so many branches and so many rabbit holes for us to go down. And it often puzzles me as to why people cannot see the reality of what I'm saying here. Ultimately, folks, the only truth you are ever going to know is yourself. All the rest of it is most often blind speculation, most especially in the conspiracy theory movement, in the alternate research community. A lot of it, in as much as who to point the finger at, is blind speculation. All we can do is surmise. All we can do is follow the paper trail and come up with the best logical possibilities. But until we rein this system in and establish some transparency, we're simply never going to know. And anybody who tells you they do know is very likely lying to you, folks. But the point that I'm attempting to make here is that it always comes back to the empowerment of the individual. That's what's going to solve this situation. That's what's going to cause all of these mysteries to be revealed. That's what is going to take the world in another direction. It's when you out there listening to this rediscover the power that you have inside you and you start applying it to the world around you by helping other people rediscover theirs. Because when you do help people rediscover their own power, folks, you help them rediscover the truth about themselves. And when they find out the truth about themselves and they are able to find the truth about everything else, and this is how people rediscover themselves. But the important aspect here, my friends, is discovery. Rediscovery, self-discovery. And the important part about discovery is that that's the only real method that truth can be conveyed to people. Because real truth is discovered. Real truth is realized. It can never be told. You can never tell somebody your truth and expect them to really believe it. They won't believe the truth. They won't ever find the truth until they realize the truth and discover the truth for themselves. And that's why the best thing that everybody out there can do is to lead by example in all that you do. Be wonderful. Be the best person that you can be. I know it's hard, folks. We all have lapses. I have them myself. But at least you can be aware of these lapses. At least you can be aware of the predator mind. At least you can be aware of the machinations of this society that are put there to keep you in a divided state, that are put there to keep you at each other's throats, to keep you arguing. Even if you slip into it for a little while, you can always make the choice to back away, to have done with that moment and to move on to better things. These are just some of the challenges that we face in life, folks, and we all face them. I'm no different. We all face these challenges. And you should not judge yourself for failing some of these challenges. But the thing is, they're just hurdles, folks, and hurdles are things that you can retry, things that you can eventually get over. That's why they're called hurdles. That's why they're called challenges. They're not obstacles that are going to stop you in your tracks completely. They're simply hurdles that you can always find a way over if you look deep enough within yourself. I truly believe this, folks, because all of the hurdles I've ever had in my life, I've always managed to find a way over them if I've had the true belief and true faith and the true confidence in myself, and I've simply surrendered to Spirit. Spirit will always guide you, folks. It will always guide you if you're open to the information. it's recently been guiding me. I've been very disconnected lately. I really have. I've had a lot of stuff building up in my life, which has sort of come to a head lately. And suddenly I found that I'd left my path. I was being led back down a pathway of self-destruction. And I didn't even know that I'd left my path. And even when I say I was being led down a path of self-destruction, well, I was leading myself down that path because I had left my center and I was searching blindly around trying to find the direction that I thought I had, when really I had no direction at all. I'd let all of these things get to me. I let all of the stuff that I mentioned in the start of the show, all the emotional trauma that's built up in the last year, I actually let it affect me. And so no one is immune to this, folks. I'm certainly not immune to it, and you shouldn't consider yourself immune to it as well. And this is why you shouldn't put people on pedestals and you shouldn't look for leaders, because everybody has the same flaws. Everybody makes the same mistakes. Everybody, no matter how strong they are, can be susceptible to the predator mind. And being aware of it is half the problem. But these things are necessary in life in order to make you stronger. Because what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, folks. That is absolutely true, that it does. And now that I've been through the situations that I've been through in the last year, now that I've let myself fall, then I feel that I now have the ability to stand even stronger and even taller than I did before. And that's why these things happen. I think that's why my life waited until I was at that point before it brought me the emotional trauma that it's just brought me, because I needed to be at that point of strength in order to recover from the trauma that it was about to present me with. And the result of that trauma has been to make me a far stronger person. So ultimately, it was a gift. And this is the way things work, folks. This is the way society works. This is the way your emotions work. This is the way reality works. If something's bugging you, reality will give you a bit more of it. And it will continue to do so. It will give you a bit more and a bit more and a bit more until you finally wake up to yourself. And then you can rise above these things. And that's why reality does that. Oh, you didn't like that? Okay, have a bit more. How do you like it now? That's what it will do, folks. Until you can understand how reality works and what you're dealing with and realize that it's all about your emotional state and how you're dealing with these things and what you do with the information that comes to you, then it will keep giving it to you. And nobody's immune to this, folks. Don't think you are and don't think that I am, because it's all a learning process for all of us. We just have to be open to the lesson and open to the message contained within the lesson, because there's always one there. So probably going off on a few tangents here today, folks, but all stuff that I needed to say. But getting back to the empowerment of the community and need to build community, and getting back to what I was saying about people finding their way through the paperwork, but it doesn't really make a difference in the end, because the police and the government can take whatever stand they want to contrive against you, and the media will always whitewash over the situation and feed the disinformation to the people, and the people will lap it up because the media told them it was true. And so often it doesn't make a great deal of difference if we've managed to find our way through the paperwork. Because what we really need is to not just find our way through the paperwork, we need to disseminate the information throughout the community at large so that large sections of the population know what's going on. Because when that happens, then we have the strength to stand up against this system. And something else that I've often mentioned to you is the danger and the folly of building alternate communities outside of the community that we have now. Because really, if you build an alternate community, you're isolating yourself from the problem. And the problem isn't going to go away by you building your alternate community. You may create a great community, but the community at large will still be there. And eventually, it's going to come for you, because that's what it does. I mean, it's really great to build an alternate community type situation where you're setting an example for the rest of the community, but don't disconnect from the rest of the community. You've got to build your alternate community within the community at large so you can set an example that will eventually influence the entire community around you. That's where the effect will come. That's where the change needs to be, and that's where the focus needs to be. You can't disconnect from this community, because if you do, you're placing yourself in danger. Now, as an example of this, I've recently received a message from a friend who is in Canada, and I'm going to read this message to you. I'll leave a few names out, but I'll read you the gist of the message, and I really want you to take this in and pay attention to this situation that is unfolding in Canada right now. Now, the letter begins with the usual courtesies and then goes on to say, "Here in Alberta, Canada, we've formed an embassy and a tactic court with a group of absolutely phenomenal people. This group is standing in peace, in integrity, and in law and justice. The original group has been meeting for 5 years and formed the embassy this spring. A couple of years ago, a hereditary Indian chief made contact with the head of the group and said that he had a prophecy. They spoke and researched, and in the end, there were 3 hereditary chiefs who had never signed a treaty and agreed to do a land deal with the group. They felt that Crown land held in trust for them was being raped by the oil field and logging industries. They lawfully have a right to sell the Crown land. In fact, they are the only ones who can, but most of their people are unaware of it. What they are doing is to set a precedent. The first land to actually legally be owned in Canada, paid for with real money, silver, and an allodial land patent signed by the hereditary chiefs. The people who are buying land are doing so under agreements of stewardship, God's law, no contract with public, and tons of Lifeways integral agreements. We just want to be free. Free to do what is right, and within the system, we don't have that right. Since filing letters with the police and different government officers, an absolutely brutal media storm has come down on us. It is so beyond ridiculous and inflammatory, we feel that it is an all-out attack and a build-up for them to take violent measures against us. They've used terms like declaration of war, terrorists, and make references to free men killing cops, etc. I'm sure you know the drill. We're starting to feel like going public, which we never wanted to do, and we told officials we just wanted to be peaceful and quiet. But going public might be our only protection. There have been no statements by police or any officials, which make us believe that we do have lawful standing, but they are using the media to build cover for an unlawful stand they plan to take." And so this is unfolding right now in Alberta, Canada, folks. And this could potentially escalate into another Waco-type event if people don't pay attention to it. And folks, here you see the danger of building an alternate community outside the community that we have. There's no good going away and hiding and think you can escape from this system. You have to make changes from within the community that you're currently living in. You could do an alternate community like this within your actual community. Just don't isolate yourself from the people around you, because that isolation makes you vulnerable. If you're going to make a stand against this system, you've got to attempt to get as many people involved in it as possible. There's no point having closed private communities, because this is what happens. These are good people, folks, that are making a good stand and doing the right thing. They've just made the mistake of isolating themselves from the rest of the community, which is a very, very normal thing for people to want to do. I mean, you look at this situation, you just want to walk away. No, I'm not going to participate in that. I'll go over here and I'll build my reality over here. And it works for me. But that's the problem, folks. You do that and then the community at large will eventually come over and stomp on you simply because you're not doing what they think you should be doing. That's the way this system works. So we really do need people to pay attention to what's going on here in Alberta, Canada, and stand with these people. I'd like to see lots of people go there. I'd like to see a huge influx of people into the area to go and stand with these people, stand by these people. And I'd like to see people in Canada calling up their media and talking about this, and calling up their politicians and talking about this, and asking why these people are being vilified when these are the original owners of the country. In fact, they are the only owners of the country. And everything they are doing has lawful standing. I mean, of course, this is if you perceive ownership itself to be real, which is a whole other issue, and don't get me started on that. But with public awareness of this, so this could turn into something very, very large. This could turn into something that does influence Canada to start taking some positive steps towards the people reclaiming their sovereignty and reclaiming their power. It could very well go to that and turn to that if enough people pay attention to this situation. So look this one up, folks, and see what you can find out about it. If you're in Canada, I urge you to contact these people and to get involved. And look, I believe they might be actually in the process of preparing some sort of a public statement and public sort of a media statement. And so I may even have some of the representatives of this community on the show in the next week or two to discuss the situation. I just think that it's important that people become aware of it before it is escalated into something that it doesn't need to be by government forces, because that's what they do, folks. If there's something that they can't combat and something that they can't deal with, something that they don't like, they will always escalate it into violence, because then that gives them the ability to close it down. And they always get the media on their side when they do this, folks. This is what they do at protests. You'll know if you've ever been to a normal, peaceful protest, but it's all good until the police show up in riot gear and start creating conflict, and then the media says how we needed the riot police to deal with all the unruly protesters, when really it was the police that created the violence, like 100% of the time. That's what happens. So you can't trust these people, folks, and I think it's important that public awareness be brought to this situation. You see, we need to stand as a united people, folks. It doesn't matter if we've found a way through the paperwork, because this is what's happening. People just get vilified and the media stands with them. On last week's show, I was talking about the case of Andrew Snowden and Adam Tucker. I've actually been contacted by Andrew Snowden as well, and I intend to have him on the show sometime in the next couple of weeks. But I showed these cases to be what happens to you when you choose to stand against the system. If you do it by yourself, they just throw some legislation at you. I was actually contacted by another friend of mine from up north in Queensland, and they talked about a 66-year-old man, a man called Edmund Hall, who was kidnapped by police in Queensland, and he was belted and bloodied and taken to the court where he challenged the judge's jurisdiction over his authority. The judge ordered he be taken away for a mental assessment, and while they're being held in the Townsville Hospital's acute mental unit, in the early hours of the morning he suffered a stroke and is in dire circumstances within the hospital right now. And one must wonder whether this stroke was a result of the beating he received at the hands of the police. And so should the police in Townsville be charged with assault, causing grievous bodily harm and life-threatening injuries against this man? And this is a man who is very, very well-versed in the legal system. He had a lot to do with Franco Collins' One Heaven work and has a huge amount of knowledge on Roman law and the canon laws, and has sent the authorities documents and letters advising of his sovereign status. He's done everything right, folks. And the police simply went to his house, beat him up, put him in a mental ward, and now he is in a very, very bad state in Townsville Hospital. This is a 66-year-old man, folks. A gentleman, wouldn't hurt a fly, did everything right, was brutally beaten by police and thrown into a psych ward, and is now in a bad way in hospital. This is the way the police are protecting society. So we need to unite as a community and do this together. This is what I want to do with the Full Circle Project next year, folks, and I want input from everybody. This is something that I want everybody to get involved in. This is a movement that is going to have no leaders. This is a movement that is going to look for every single way we can undermine this system. I want to have people that are willing to take political stands. I want people that are willing to even form political parties. I mean, I don't agree with politics, but I want to take this system on in every single possible way that we can. I want people to get involved in media campaigns and internet campaigns and television campaigns, radio campaigns, public workshops, political movements, every single thing we can think of to bring public awareness to the state of this planet and to the criminal actions of our government, everything we can think of to undermine this system from every possible angle. We need to be like a group of white ants simply gnawing through the fabric of this system, folks. We need to bring it down, and we need to do it in a peaceful way, and we need to do it in a way that replaces it with something that works properly, whatever that may be. But the first focus of everything we do needs to be to remove the toxins from this environment, remove the toxins from our water, from our food, and get humanity back on track so that we can eventually get to a point, hopefully in the very near future, where we realize collectively that we do not need a system at all. We do not need to be governed by other people. We need to remember how to govern ourselves. And all we need to do that is to stand in integrity and to respect one another. That's all we need to do. I mean, all the challenges that we face, folks, these are just challenges. These are just hurdles. And that's what this is. That's what this time in history is. It's a challenge and it's a hurdle. And everything that doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Everything that I've been through in the last year, everything that had brought me to the point that I was a couple of weeks ago, and I was still trying to maintain the energy to do these radio shows, has brought me to the point where I am now. All of that has simply served to make me stronger. And right now I feel bulletproof. I feel like I could stand up against the world right now. There is just not a backward step I'm going to take to anyone or anything. But I need the support of human consciousness with me. I need people to stand with me, not behind me, but with me. Because I can't lead you. Nobody can lead you. Nobody can lead mankind out of the position that we are in except mankind themselves. But it takes the participation of each individual within mankind to do this. Whoever you are out there, we've got to put down our differences. We've got to stop pointing the finger at others and realize the potential of ourselves and stand together to bring about some positive change on this planet. Because if we don't, if we continue to fight and squabble and point the finger at each other, we're simply going to fall into the pit of hell in a kicking, screaming mess, all shouting at each other and pointing blame at each other and yelling at each other, when the whole thing is actually occurring because we failed to pay attention to the now and failed to stand in the power that each of us has. So now's the time that we have to do that, folks. Things are getting serious, and it's time for mankind to wake up. And look, I know a lot of people have been going through similar things that I've been through in the last year, in the last 6 months, folks. The predator mind is alive and well, and it has been affecting everybody. And I'd really like you to become aware of this, and I'd really like to hear from people who want to be involved in the Full Circle Project, and I'd really like you to share this radio show with your friends. I'd really like people to hear what I said today. I'd really like people to look within themselves and to start acting to make a difference, because now's the time that we have to do it. Things really are getting serious. But we don't have to continue in this direction, folks. We can change things, but that change has to come from within. It has to come from people changing their perspective and acting. You've got to be prepared to act. You've got to be prepared to step into action in this world and work to make a difference in your own life. Work to make a difference in the lives around you. And understand that the people around you are just the same as you. There are no leaders. There is no rulers. There is no one who's better. There is no one who is any more worth or any more value than anybody else. We are all in this together. And together, we can express the art of our lives and we can make a difference. But we have to be prepared to do it. And we've really, really got to put down all of this stuff. The alternate media, the alternate research community really has to put down all the stuff that they're creating with other people. Stop going down rabbit holes and turn to face reality and realize that you can deal with this situation if you choose to get involved. Once you do, once we have all collectively dealt with this situation, then all of the questions that we've all had for so long will all be answered by default. So that's where the focus has to be, folks. It has to come down to the empowerment of the individual. It has to come down to you discovering who and what you are. But I think we've reached the end of this show here, folks. Thank you very much for spending this time with me today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. And thank you in advance to everybody who wants to contribute and to help with the Full Circle Project. Now's the time, folks, and we have to get involved. But that is it for me, folks. I'm completely out of time. It's been a pleasure having your company on the air today. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then. In Lakesh.